My name is Kate Bridges, and I am never quite sure how to define myself these days. I live in Manhattan. I work as a lay clergy member, as a lay cantor at a synagogue in central New Jersey. I also teach in the city, and I write. That's what I spend a lot of my time doing. I blog. I have two blogs. One is called Eat the Damn Cake, and the other one is called unschooled.net. And I write for the Huffington Post.
So you've been unschooled all your life, except for when you went into college, right?
That's right, yep.
And so how was that transition from being in a situation where you could pick and choose what you wanted to do to one that you're still choosing what you want, but you still have to go by the rules? How was that transition?
I'm not going to lie. It was really difficult for me. I think a lot of that had to do with the particular school that I went to. I went to a really big state school. And later when I went to grad school at a small Ivy League school, it was a very different experience. And I thought, oh, man, I should have done this one first.
Yeah.
But a lot of the things that kind of were tricky for me were just really the obvious stuff. Like, I thought it was so ridiculous to be sitting in a classroom. I had never really spent time sitting in a classroom before. And I looked around and everybody was facing forward and a lot of people were falling asleep. And the professor was at the front, at the board, trying desperately to keep everyone's attention. And it just seemed like such a silly format to me. So it was stuff like that that kind of threw me a little bit for a loop. It was a little bit rough freshman year, but I adjusted, and I did enjoy being able to meet a lot of professors and be exposed to a lot of subjects that I had no previous exposure to. So it was kind of a mixed experience.
Yeah, so that exposure, that's one of the things that always comes up as a critique of unschooling is, well, you know, you're not going to get a balanced or you know, an overall exposure to subjects, to what's out there. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I have a problem with the idea of balance. Mm-hmm. I've never liked the notion that, quote, well-rounded education, unquote, is the ideal education, because I think that when people pursue that model of educational success, they end up with a lot of people who maybe know a little tiny bit about a lot of subjects, but aren't experts at anything or in any field, but also who haven't learned how to really pursue their interests. So the idea of balance, while maybe, you know, in its ideal form or its perfect state, is awesome and exciting, when it's applied broadly, kind of prevents people in a lot of cases from learning what they really love to do and being able to do that. Because I think that when you learn to kind of just love learning and you do things that interest you, whatever it is that interests you ends up connecting you to a whole huge network of other stuff, other subjects, you know, just a ton of information about one subject, whatever it is. You end up being connected to a lot of stuff in really surprising ways. So maybe you do end up being sort of more balanced than people expect or more well-rounded than people expect in the end, but it's never through pursuing well-roundedness or balance.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have a question. I mean, I really wonder about balance as well, because to my eye, I don't see that many people balanced anyway. All those who went through school don't seem to know a whole lot more than anybody. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not really that's not really an issue in my mind, but it seems to be a real concern for people that, you know, oh, you're not going to know Canadian history or something, that, you know, a great gap, how you can fit in culturally, you know.
Right. It's sort of funny that people have that idea about unschoolers or homeschoolers. I mean, the truth is, though, that you learn something new in absolutely every environment. It's not like there's an environment that you can go to and that's where you get access to every sort of information and all of the important information. You learn everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's an idea that I've always loved and found really true about unschooling, is that you're just always learning.
Because you're living and you're in the world.
Because you're living, yeah.
Yeah.
So of course, when I went to college, I learned. And I learned from interesting people who I wouldn't have otherwise met. or have contact with. But to be perfectly honest, I would have learned somewhere else too.
Right. For sure. On your blog, one of your blogs, the unschooled one, you said something about, you had a post about being unschooled is a lot like being grown up. And I really like that idea because it's reflecting what you're saying now. No one tests you, no one asking you if you're well-rounded as an adult. You know, you don't go around poking at people, are you well-rounded? And so it's almost it's the same idea that, you know, you can push. Do you have anything more to add about that post that you
put? I think that what I said is so true. But it really is true that my experience as an unschooler kind of felt like being an adult, or at least felt like the idea that I saw that people had about what it meant to be an adult. And I kind of discovered that through interactions with adults, like being kind of in the community rather than in school. I, you know, had a lot of contact and a lot of friendships with grown-ups who kind of didn't expect to end up being my friend because here I was a kid. And it's sort of expected that kids are going to be with other kids and grown-ups are going to be with grown-ups and everybody's going to be kind of slotted into their, you know, particular age bracket, and that's where they're going to stay, which is, I think, kind of a strange idea, really, because it's so useful for children to learn from people who are older than them and have more experience. So a lot of my experience as an unschooler just, you know, consisted of being around adults who told me, oh, you seem so grown up. Well, it wasn't really that I was so grown up. It was just that I was interacting with them as I would with a friend. And I was, through those relationships, able to talk about things that were relevant to adults. And I was able to, you know, just have a lot of experiences, educational experiences, relational experiences, and I don't mean that in some sort of like horrible, appropriate way, you know, just that other children didn't seem to have access to.
I mean, there was a lack of a fear, I find, with lots of kids, fear of adults. They don't tend to be, you know, wary of adults, or like lots of the kids that I know do tend to be a bit cautious around adults and not really speak up, and I find that with unschooled kids that, it's actually the complete opposite.
I think that's exactly right. And I was actually surprised when I was surprised by my school peers and the people I met in college, the students I met in college who, you know, were still afraid of interacting with adults, you know, when they were 20 or whatever. And I always thought that was kind of funny. But, I mean, not that I wasn't scared of interacting with giant groups of my peers. I didn't have much familiarity with. But the other thing I'll add about unschooling being like being grown up is that you just have a lot of responsibility, and that's something that people don't necessarily expect from kids who are in school. And I have to kind of clarify that by saying, you know, kids in school have tons of responsibility. But it's not the same kind of responsibility. It's not the responsibility where you really get to kind of decide what you do with your time, and what you learn and what you pursue. It's the kind of responsibility that I absolutely shrink at, you know, having 2 hours of homework and get A's in every subject. And I mean, the stuff that sounds so stressful to me that I honestly sometimes can't imagine how anybody does it.
Right.
And it can me a lot.
It's because it's imposed, this responsibility. It's not something that's self, you know, comes from the self. Yeah. Another thing I noticed about you, and on your blog anyway, is that you seem to be very playful, your ideas, your way of thinking. Do you think that has something to do with your upbringing, or is it just the way,
looking
at the world?
I don't think it has very much to do with my upbringing, and I kind of wish it did. But for a long time, I felt like I needed to defend my life to the world. Like, I felt like as an unschooler, as a homeschooler, I needed to explain to everyone that I was valid, and that I was smart and successful, because they kind of assumed otherwise. And so I felt like for most of my life, I felt defensive about about being unschooled, and I felt like I was explaining myself all the time in a very serious way. And just recently, like maybe a couple of years ago, I felt like I was tired of having to justify my existence in those kind of very solemn terms. I felt like, you know what, everybody is weird, you know, everybody is different, and it's so much more effective to relate to other people as you know, just being people, as we're all human, and here's my particular weirdnesses and my particular weird experiences, and I think they're really valuable and great, just like I think other people's experiences are really valuable and great, but I just don't want to have to defend myself anymore, so I think that's where, and I want to, I want to be able to laugh at myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So important. Well, I do find that lots of unschooling, you know, advocates tend to be really serious, and it gets really, like, you know, it can become a bit didactic and very limiting, you know.
Yes.
So why not just have fun?
Yeah. I really, actually, thank you for saying that, because I really, really appreciate you noticing that, because that's been something that I really care about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, for sure. I'll keep it up because it's really needed.
Thank you.
But the other thing I wanted to say was that I have an idea that if school, in your opinion, if schools were closed, you know, shut down for good, you know, what kind of, do you see a vision for that kind of a world? Do you think that it would be something that our society could eventually go back to? You know, we didn't always have school, right? So I'm just thinking that with now the technology and with everything, all kinds of learning opportunities and all kinds of ways of acting and being in the world, how relevant is school to the great enterprises of our times? I'm, you know, wondering if it's so, apart from like colleges and instructional schools, I'm not sure that, do we even really need school? I don't know. What do you think?
Wow, no one's ever asked me that question.
It's big.
Funny, I feel like people should have. Again, it's a great question. I mean, I think that what you see now, even in schools, I work with, or I blog sometimes for Lisa Nielsen, who runs a blog called The Innovative Educator, and she works with New York City schools introducing technological innovations to the classroom and trying to kind of build a network of interconnectedness for schools, kind of getting everyone online and expanding education beyond, like, the walls of the school, like, outside, like, state, you know, across state lines, you know, throughout the nation. And so I think, like, that's sort of the direction that school is heading in, just like it's the direction that absolutely everything is heading in. That doesn't mean that anything's going to change overnight. So if it really did change overnight, and if it really did change overnight and school stopped being school in the sense that it is now, I think that that would be kind of like the logical conclusion of what's happening now anyway. And I think, because I think that, like, just the way our consciousness works and our interaction works now as a nation, and, you know, maybe globally and globally as well, is much less concrete. Much more in the realm of ideas. I mean, that's what the internet has done. It's connected people so that we are friends with people who we have never met, and we are, you know, all exposed to the same ideas, and information is free. And there doesn't have to be so much of a hierarchy of information like there used to be, like you had to go to find people who possessed certain bodies of information, and they would be the ones to impart it, like teachers, you know, maybe rural farmers didn't have the information that a traveling school teacher had who would be instructing your children. But it's, you know, because all of that has changed, I mean, I don't, it sounds incredibly radical, but I don't think that it's, in terms of knowledge and learning, I don't think that it's really incredibly radical to say that
yeah,
they're just not as necessary as they used to be in a lot of ways. But then the ways in which they are necessary will continue to be valid until society changes dramatically in other economic ways. You know, people need their kids to be in school because they're working, you know. So it's hard to imagine a world without school before imagining a world in which jobs have been dramatically restructured.
For sure. And again, there's that whole movement of unjobbing and, you know, like the equivalent of unschooling. So people becoming more self-sufficient. And the whole nature of work is changing anyway with the internet and technology.
That's exactly right. And if really we could somehow, like, just plunge into this, like, new world where there was no school and things had been, the job and the way that jobs work had been completely rerouted, I think that what we would see is just that people would be starting their own companies a lot more, mm-hmm. and that people would be, you know, that those things would be intertwined. Mm-hmm. Schooling and work would be intertwined in a totally new way, but only new in the sense that it was widespread, because again, we're already seeing that things are leaning in that direction. And now, with the economy as it is, we're seeing that there's tons of new job innovation.
Yes.
And tons of new tech startups, and just like the entrepreneurial base has been growing enormously because people are forced to do something different and think creatively, and that is, you know, fundamentally what unschooling is.
And I find in that when I talk to other unschools, that seems to be a trend for them, that they're actually quite entrepreneurial and quite looking to be more self-sufficient as far as their own jobs. And your new blog now, you've just had it up for how long now? Is it 2 months?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So what made you decide to start a blog about unschooling anyway?
Well, I'm writing a book actually about it. So I kind of wanted a platform for my book. And I wanted to, maybe more importantly even, start to meet people who were also writing about unschooling and connect with them online. So find out who's out there and what people are saying about education, and blogging is a really good way to connect with people that way. So I've connected actually with a really, really creative and prominent education community here in New York City. So that kind of happened right off the bat, and that wasn't a direction I expected to go in with the blog, but I love it because I get exposure to what's going on in the school system and kind of the other side of things.
And did you grow up in Manhattan?
I grew up in New Jersey.
Okay. So. And did you find there was a decent community there?
Yeah. I mean, my mom really made a lot of the community. She started a lot of support groups, so I think she kind of dragged a lot of people out of the woodwork. So, I mean, I remember being in, like, just a whole number of different homeschooling groups as a kid. Like, there was, like, I was in, like, a Jewish homeschooling group that was separate from, like, my regular homeschooling group, that was separate from, like, the group that got together to do, like, science experiments. And, you know, there was like, a lot of activity.
Did you ever have any feelings to any, you know, wish or desire to go to high school at any time in your life? Or?
Absolutely not. Never. It was... I counted myself very lucky that I didn't have to go. I mean, like, I remember waking up at, like, 9:30 or 10 in the morning and just being like, oh, I am so glad I don't have to get up and go to school. You know, I've never gotten up and gone to school, but I knew that that was, like, the normal experience for so many people my age. It just felt really like an incredible luxury to be able to sleep late.
We're coming to the end of our questions here, but do you have something you would like to interject here or add here?
I don't know. I mean, just that sometimes I feel like when I talk about being homeschooled or unschooling, people feel like the conversation that I'm having or trying to have or must be having on some level is like, school is bad and, you know, everyone should unschool and that's the only way to do it. And I feel like there just needs to be more room in any conversation about education for a lot of different ways to learn and a lot of different ways to be educated. And I just think it's unfortunate that school and unschooling get cast as like diametric opposites when, you know, in fact, they're really kind of too different to compare in a lot of ways, but also, like, it would just be more productive if people could get information about all of the different ways to learn and all of the different types of education out there without it being sort of a competition or without it being combative.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you end up being defensive because you're on the side that you know, people aren't familiar with. So I guess sometimes unschools tend to come across as, oh, we're great, just because you have to almost protect yourself.
I'm totally guilty of that. Is something I'm working on.
For sure.
You're right.
The endless socialization questions that just drive people crazy.
Right. I know, exactly. Like the question I've been asked since I was like 4 years old. Well, what about socialization? Do you have any friends? Can you? I mean, my favorite is the times that I was having a conversation with somebody and I've been talking with them for, you know, 15 minutes or so. And then they find out that I was homeschooled and they ask me, so can you socialize? I mean, I've been standing there talking to them. Yeah. And I just look at them like, well, what do you think? You know, what am I supposed to say?
Yeah. That's the thing. It's quite frustrating that they can get away with the silly questions when, you know, you can't, in a way. You have to defend yourself. So, yeah.
But people just don't know. There's just not, you know, people just, they just don't know. And now there's a lot more information. Now there's a lot more awareness of, you know, of homeschooling and not unschooling quite as much, but homeschooling than there used to be when I was, you know, when I was growing up, when I was an early teenager or whatever. When I went to grad school, I found that most people I talked to knew about homeschooling.
Right.
So that was different and kind of a relief. But still, there's not a lot of awareness out there about it. So I think that's part of the issue when you talk to people and they ask you questions like, you know, do you guys have a car, or like, you know, do you drive a horse and buggy, or can you socialize?